So that had a significant effect on immigrants living within the UK, as well as the rates of immigration seen. After that, we were looking at the Ugandan Asian crisis, which I believe happened around the 70s and 80s as well. And yeah, around the 70s and 80s. So this was considered to be the first big test of the new immigration laws put in place by the government in the UK, as there was a war going on in Uganda, which was a former British colony, and it was announcing its sort of expulsion of their entire Asian community in Uganda. So the PM at the time of the in the UK declared that as a country, the United Kingdom had a moral and legal responsibility to take in those people with UK passports from there. And I believe that the statistic or the numbers related to this is that there was around 60,000 people expelled from Uganda, and only under half of that came into the UK because of the new immigration laws being so much stricter, in that you had to have proof of UK citizenship. And this really highlighted a change in immigration policy in the UK, with the UK being seen to be more wary of people coming over. And through the 70s and 80s, there was fewer than 5,000 asylum seekers came into the UK year on year. But that did change around the 1990 mark, with you had the fall of the Berlin Wall. So that number increased from fewer than 5,000 to around 16,000. And that increase has been a steady trend that has followed in the decades to come, seen specifically with the consistent instability in Middle Eastern countries such as Somalia, Iraq, Israel, and Sudan, just to name a few over the years, where the UK has seen an increase in asylum seekers. Now, moving on from there, we go to 1992, where we're looking at the EU expansion and the UK joining the EU, which is the European Union. So with the UK joining the EU, it granted all EU citizens equal rights with freedom to live in any member state that they choose. So this had an effect of seeing tens of thousands of EU citizens moving to live and work in Britain, as well as vice versa, having British citizens moving to all other kinds of EU countries. And jumping to 2004, you saw the EU had expanded again, including multiple new countries. So you're looking at Latvia, Lithuania, Poland, Czech Republic, Hungary, and more joining this sort of agreement where you can all move a bit easier and more freely. And some countries, like I think it was France and Germany, put some temporary restrictions in 2004 of who could move in and out quite easily with these new countries. The UK, however, did not put any temporary restrictions on the new countries. So it was predicted that it would cause a rise of, I think it was about 13,000 people a year in immigration. And the Prime Minister at the time, we were a Labour government, so the Prime Minister, I believe, was Tony Blair, saw this as a really positive thing, with more countries being part of the EU, you can have more immigration happening, which will mean that for the economy to grow in the UK, you're going to need a larger workforce. So he was seeing this as a positive move, in that you are getting more people to come and work in the UK, you'll build up the economy. However, that was based on the prediction that it would only be a rise of about 13,000 people in a year in immigration. It was more close to 1 million people arriving, and that has stayed as a significant trend that we see in the next decade. And it was called one of the biggest influxes in British history, with, there is a statistic of that from 2004, EU migrants coming into the UK was 167,000, and it has gone to it's a slightly old statistic now, but to 2017, to 1,444,000. So you can already tell that with the prediction of what it was going to be, it's a significantly different number. And that then leads into sort of you're having a housing crisis where you're having all of these people from the EU moving around, not enough homes, not enough jobs per se. And what the Prime Minister saw as this really positive change for the UK's economy turns slightly more negative as you're getting an increase in homelessness, poverty, and just an increase in population with not enough infrastructure to house them all. NHS queues getting, well, waiting lists getting extremely long, so people can't get to the medical care that they need either. So that is about the last 30, 40 years of immigration history, of what's classed as the significant parts of immigration history in Britain. We're going to jump to much more recent in regards to immigration, where we go to the 2016 EU referendum that was held in the UK. But before we do that, I would like to share with you all some Canadian based music that I've been listening to. So we will start off with this Toronto based band called Birds of Bell Woods. I believe they were formed in about 2013, 2014, and I discovered them through their song Melatonin from their album Victoria that was released in 2018, which was played on Intravenous this week. The single I'm going to play today is one I recently discovered by them. It was released in 2019 just as a single called Easy.
Missteps on drug testing, each call to action. Hooked on that next look, just textbook distraction. Too much I can't stop, like no sleep till Brooklyn. False starts in three parts, that broken heart cooking. 4 years in hotels on blank sheets with no shell. Did harm but meant well, gave and forgave hell. Went too far then came back with fresh scars on both tracks. Each step means one less and nothing will change that. Nothing will change that. Nothing will change that. I'm still the same, I'm still nothing, I'm still nobody. This isn't easy, but that's how it's supposed to be. And looking up, I see I'm closer than I've ever been. So go easy on me, yeah, go easy on me. Have you ever thought so much it made you lose your head? Or been so overcome with dreams that you just stayed in bed? I know I'm not the only one that wished that I was dead. Or that I could be someone else just for a day instead. Feels like everything moves so damn slowly. And every day it's harder to let people know me. But there is so much this world has yet to show me. So I keep my head up, don't let up, keep going. I'm still the same, I'm still nothing, I'm still nobody. This isn't easy, but that's how it's supposed to be. And looking up, I see I'm closer than I've ever been. So go easy on me, yeah, go easy on me. Go easy on me, go easy on me. Have you ever thought so much it made you lose your head? I know I'm not the only one that wished that I was dead. Go easy on me, go easy on me. I'm still the same, I'm still nothing, I'm still nobody. Me, yeah, go
to Intravenous on Wednesdays from 10 to 11 a.m. for music and talk radio about all things, all genders. Discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through an intersectional feminist lens, our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemony. Intravenous, every Wednesday morning from 10 to 11, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. Diverse, independent, yours.
Listen to music and podcasts from CGSF 90.1 FM with our radio app. It's on-the-go listening made easy. You can tune into all our music, spoken word, and multicultural shows using your device. Our app lets you set reminders so you'll never miss your favorite show again. Stay connected to CGSF 90.1 FM through our community radio app. Download the app from the Apple Store or get it on Google Play.
And welcome back. This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby Community Radio from Simon Fraser University. And we have just listened to the song Easy by the Toronto-based band Birds of Bellwoods. And just a recap for anybody that has just tuned in, we have been talking a bit about UK immigration history, sort of going from the 1940s with the Windrush generation to the UK joining the EU in the 1990s and the EU expanding in 2004. So we're now jumping to 2016, where we see the EU referendum being held. So this was around with the Prime Minister David Cameron and the Conservative Party in power. They announced a referendum about whether the UK should stay or leave the EU, even though there was EU immigration falling, but you were seeing more EU citizens arriving in the country than those leaving. So it was becoming a sort of issue of too many people, not enough housing, infrastructure, so and so, to have all these people. The result of the 2016 referendum was a very close call. It was a split of 52% to 48% in favour to leave. However, there was arguments being made that the campaigns to the both sides of this referendum were flawed and spread misinformation, and that the sort of reasoning behind some people voting wasn't correct and wasn't gonna happen, is what the gist of it was. So I know that there was two very significant flaws in the campaign to leave the EU, which did sway a lot of people to vote leave. One being that we would gain control of our borders, which would reduce the rate of immigration down. There was a big sort of argument being made that we are allowing too many immigrants into the country, that we do not have the infrastructure to support. And that the other claim was that with the UK leaving, we would have £350 million back a week that could go into the NHS and improving the NHS. However, the immigration restrictions that were promised with the Brexit campaign would only impact EU migrants, not the illegal immigrants that are seeking asylum. So this sort of campaign of leaving, saying if you vote leave, we get control of our borders, immigration will go down, was presented very incorrectly. And as a result, was a main contributor to the leave campaign winning, but as well hasn't been followed through, which has led to a lot of anger and resentment from people in the UK towards government and the Conservative Party. The aftermath as well was seen to be quite problematic with what the campaigns were campaigning for, because we saw that the NHS actually has struggled more with a shortage of medical staff because many of them were EU citizens. So us leaving the EU means that they left as well. So we're now having more of a shortage of medical staff and longer waiting times. As well as this, that the Brexit was sort of seen as a catalyst to quite significant political change in the UK in the past 5 years. We have seen 5 prime ministers go by after David Cameron has resigned. When Leave won the referendum in 2016, he resigned. He was part of the Remain campaign. So we then see Theresa May taking over to promise delivering acceptable Brexit deals. However, she resigned in 2019, having had 2 votes of no confidence, which she got through, but the party was having poor performance in her leadership. We then see Boris Johnson taking over, delivering Brexit deals. He also saw the UK through the COVID-19 pandemic, but he resigned in 2022 after there was a series of allegations against him and his party, with investigations into them breaking COVID pandemic regulations. It was the infamous party gate, and it furthered the distrust in Parliament and the Conservative Party, which is already sort of stemming from the failure to fulfill the promises made by Brexit campaigns, particularly in regard to immigration. So there was a mass revolt by ministers over his leadership. So we had another prime minister come in and take over, Liz Truss. But she only lasted 49 days until she resigned because her economic reforms were damaging the economy more. We then have Rishi Sunak take over. This is all happening in the space of 2022. And he was prime minister up until this year because he dissolved parliament early for a general election in May, as it was scheduled for the autumn, but he wasn't seeing it to the situation in parliament to get any better. So he decided to bring it forward. And we then see a landslide victory for the Labour Party after 15 years of conservative reign with our now current prime minister, Sir Keir Starmer. So this constant change that we're seeing since 2016 in UK government has been a result in a rise of tension and instability. We're seeing a rise of far-right extremist views targeted specifically towards immigration in the UK. There's a spread of misinformation online, and there has been a mass increase in violence, as well as that we're seeing now an increase in support from this general election in the far-right party, the Reform Party. They got a shockingly high amount of votes than what people were expecting. However, they haven't got as many seats in Parliament. So we now look at what we have today. And today we are looking at sort of this year. This past month, we have seen riots all over England, as a result of a fatal stabbing of 3 young girls under the age of 10 in North England. This has been some of the worst unrest that's been seen in England in over a decade. And what people are noticing is being fueled by a lot of misinformation and anti-immigration sentiment. It was immediately occurring sort of after there was an arrest announced for these murders of these girls, and it was spread online that it was an asylum seeker from 2023. An incorrect name was being circulated, rumors about the religion of this person as well, and this fueled so much violence out in local mosques. There were bricks being thrown, arson, petrol bombs, asylum seekers were being attacked, there were police officers being attacked. And it's sort of been that the people involved are sort of suspected to be supporters of disbanded far-right groups in the UK, one being called the English Defence League. And social media had a huge sort of role in the spread of this rioting and information and hate messagings, there was a message circulating around of planned attacks on many immigration centres in the UK. And we have now seen, I think, 600 arrests, last time I checked, from the ages of 11 to 60 plus years old in regard to terrorism offences being considered for some, and looking into those that played a role in spreading misinformation online. So you're seeing here a lot of violence and the expression of a lot of far-right groups in response to an unstable governing body and an unstable country. I believe the Prime Minister, I read a quote somewhere about him saying that these attacks and all of this violence is being used as a catalyst to fuel the own political purposes of the locals experiencing far-right views. This isn't only happening in England. There are some similar things happening across Europe. There is increased support in far-right political parties in Germany. I think it's called the Alternative for Germany party. They're making very significant gains and are predicted to have the biggest gains since the far-right era of the 1930s and 40s, and they have some very strong views against immigration. Also being seen in France, I know they just had an election. There was a very significant rise in support for the far-right party, the National Rally, which was formerly known as the National Front. But we'll go probably more into the rise of the far-right and what we're seeing now versus what we've seen in the past next week. This was sort of to give a brief overview of what immigration's role has been in the UK's history and what it is like now and what we're seeing now. We're seeing a lot of violence. We're seeing a lot of misinformation online that fuels this violence, both from members of the public posting on social media and spreading incorrect information, but also from the government in their campaigns, particularly with Brexit, because statistics are getting manipulated in regard to immigrants and whether it's illegal immigrants or EU immigrants that were coming in. And us leaving the EU, well, that could control. I think there was a statistic that it can't be fully accurate because the illegal immigrants are undocumented, so you can't fully know who it is, but it is predicted to be between 400,000 and more than a million in the UK. I think that was as of 2020 is a rough estimate. And using that statistic in the Brexit campaign to fuel leaving the EU, even though leaving the EU wouldn't change that as much because it was focusing more on immigration between EU countries that way. But that is all I have for the history of immigration up till about now. Very brief and very vague, but to finish off, I'm going to play a song by the singer Nissa, I believe is how you pronounce it. I played a song off of the same album last week, but this is a single called The Hell I Raise from her second album, Shake Me Where I'm Foolish. Last week we heard the song Breakup Party, and she is Toronto based as well, I believe. But I hope you guys enjoy.
I'm good for nothing but the hell I raise. I'm good for nothing but the hell I raise. I'm good for nothing but the hell I raise. Ooh, the hell I raise. Standing out on the corner, deep in aimless fantasy. I was making like an extra in a movie nobody will ever see. I was decked out in black leather.
for nothing but the hell I raise. I'm good for nothing but the hell I raise. I'm good for nothing but the hell I raise. Oh, ooh.
Thank you for tuning into my open mic this week. I'll see you guys next week, where we'll be discussing sort of the rise in far-right populism in more detail across Europe. So coming up next, we have Free Voices, and stay tuned.
Volunteering at CGSF 90.1 FM is a great experience and is easy to get started. So I'll tell you a little bit about it in the hope that you reach out. As this station is run almost entirely by volunteers, you have a variety of ways to get active at CGSF. Every department can use a little bit of help. Arts and entertainment. Well, you can write and produce reviews, conduct interviews of local musicians, the music library, acquiring, organizing, reviewing, and compiling charts. Public affairs. Interviewing groups, attending events, recording lectures. Public relations, postering, graphic design, and programming. You can host your own show or work on a collective. Production, audio editing, and PSA building. And once you feel comfortable, you can even volunteer to help the volunteers. So volunteer with us at CGSF 90.1. Email us at vol4cjsf@sfu.ca.
Just talk for a while.
Okay, well, we're a little early here.
Just set up our show.
Yep.
I'm going to get our first song going. Go ahead, keep talking.
Welcome, everybody.
Get ready for our show.
Yep, they're getting ready for the show.
And we have a great show coming up.
Yep.
So stay tuned.
Mm-hmm.
And be ready.
This is on, yep.
And the Sniffers, we have Amy L. and the Sniffers. A song from... Australia, and their song is called Some Mutts.